were vending machines, Charlie, for Jesus. Yeah, the outline fruit dispensaries. we've been fellowshipping about bearing fruit. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Just pray for your Holy Spirit. Oh, to quicken us, Lord. Oh, and reveal yourself to us. Yeah. Pray for revelation.
Yeah.
Oh, for each and every one of us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we certainly want to know what's on your heart.
Yes.
Oh, and we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity.
Amen.
Oh, to explore
yes.
that in your word.
Amen.
So open your word to us this yes. morning, I pray. Oh, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Well, our paper starts with this, walk in the Spirit. And that's pretty simple stuff, right? It sounds like it is, but it's really not all that simple. And when we say walk, what we're saying is you're living. This is you're living in the Spirit, right? So the encouragement here is walk in the Spirit. Walk in it. You know, and so there's a lot said about walking, you know, and because that is really... where the practical reality comes out. Ephesians chapter 4 says, walk in unity, or live in unity, right? It tells us to walk in love, or live in love. Is that our reality? It tells us to walk in light. And then there's also walk in wisdom. So these are all attributes of our walk. And so when I see somebody and this stuff is going on with them, I have a great appreciation, and I'm sure the Lord does as well, because we're getting it. We're starting to get it, right? Yeah. So, and when we're in this state, there's a real opportunity for others around us to be blessed. You see, we want our lives to be a blessing. We shared a little bit here. There's a lot going on around the throne right now. There's a lot of singing. There's a lot of shouting. There's a lot of crowns flying. There's a lot of things going on around the throne. It's a constant. There's this constant medley going on. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is what's going on in the glory, saints. And one day we're going to step right into it. So I'm hoping that we get ourselves together before that day happens, so that won't be such a transition for us. You know, we just step right in and join right in with the heavenly choir and go for it, right? Because he's thoroughly and absolutely equipped us for that very thing. He's given us his Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ lives in each and every one of us. If we're born again, we have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in us. We are fully and absolutely equipped for every good work which God intends for us to execute. Right? And so, walk in the Spirit. That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Yeah, well, we all know that as soon as we grab a hold of that mentally, there's something else that kind of pulls me around a little bit. Yeah, we get tugged down by something, and we're going to look at that a little bit. Because I want us to be aware and really conscious of this matter. It's not something that just happens. The Christian life's a maintained life. Gary said something about us coming together. You know what? If we're lifting weights all week, spiritual weights, when we come here on Sunday, we're going to be ready to go. But if we're not lifting spiritual weights all week, we're going to come here weak and not much. You see? So we want to be lifting spiritual weights all week. So when we come together, we don't just come together, we run together. And there's an expression and an explosion of God's life that we've accumulated and gathered through the course of the week as we live it out on a daily basis. That's our walk, right? So when we come through the door, I mean, understandably, sometimes things happen and they hit us and we're sideways. Well, then we need the supply of the body to get us out of that. We need each other. Somebody else might be over here going, I really found the Lord this week. Had a glorious week. Led a couple people to the Lord. The Lord met me in every bend. Amen. And you need to declare it, because if somebody else sitting here is going, I missed everywhere. And what I didn't miss, I did miss. You know, so we want to be filled up. Jesus said his life in us would become a well of living water that is going to spring up into eternal life. If we enjoy him, and if we're participating with him, and we're in his word and communing with him, the level of life in me just starts rising. I can't help it. This is the activity of abiding in him. The level of life just starts climbing in me. And it gets to the point where I can't not say something. I would like to not say something. It takes a lot to share. But you know what? The more time I spend with him, the more I enjoy him, the more fellowship I'm in with him, I can't not say something. Right? And so we need to be before the Lord. Lord, help us. You know, the world needs the Lord. They need saved. He didn't come to condemn them. He came to save them. You see? And here we are, the church. We got the goods. We certainly don't want to be sitting on it. We certainly want to be exercising it. Right? So not only for them, John 17 tells us that the world may know that I came. And the world might believe that you sent me. How? Because these guys are loving all over each other. They're together. They're one. They're loving each other. They're giving themselves for each other. There's a real expression of God's love worked out in them. That's going to be the message to the world. Individually and corporately. You see, what we do together corporately. We may not really understand what's going on, but we've got a lot of expressions of God's affection here. We got Zambia. We got India. We got Kenya, where Mike is, right? There's a lot of expressions of God's love here. That's us going out. Someone got moved. The Lord intervened. By his Spirit, we can jump in. And guess what? A lot of people. There was 8 people got saved this week in India in the prison ministry. Guess what, saints? You're part of that. We're all part of that. If we're participating with the Lord in that. You see? So that's fruit. 8 souls are saved that weren't saved prior to this week because we are engaged in India and we're praying for India. The Lord wakes me up when Samrod hits the podium. The Lord wakes me up in the middle of the night and I start praying for him. You know, and so, and then he says to me this morning, glorious meeting, Brother Scott. And I said, hallelujah. See, this is how we're connected. The Lord just moves me. I start praying for him, you know, and I'm sure other people are as well. And we got fruit in India, you see, God's love. Expressed in India. He just gave me a need. He said the prison was so impressed with them that they asked if there was something they could do to help them get water. They don't have fresh water in the prison system. And the little guy that runs the prison, he was going, right there, you know, they want to try to put a borehole in there. So the prisoners got fresh water. They end up drinking contaminated water because there's no water in the prison. So they get born again, and then there's needs. Most of them need fed, you see. And so there's just a continuation, you know. So it's this is the Lord working, operating, and we don't want to be shrinking back, you know. So we want to be engaging. So it tells us in verse 16, Galatians 5:16. I'm going to make sure I say the verses for my brother over there, Brother Eli. Galatians 5:16, it says, it's interesting, is I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not, let's say that, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a mouthful right there, isn't it? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That word fulfill means literally you're going to bring it to fruition. We all have the flesh. None of us are exempt from that. The Lord kind of left it around for an escort for us. I can really be enjoying the Spirit, and then the next breath, something goes by, and I'm going, and I'm like, oh, the flesh, it's there in every one of us. Yeah, so what's the answer to the flesh? The Spirit. Right? Walk in the Spirit, and you won't bring the lust of the flesh to fruition. You see, I heard it said, and we've heard it said several times, you can't do anything about the birds flying over your head, but you certainly have something to do with them making a nest in your hair. I'll be sitting on the internet doing emails, and all of a sudden all this stuff shows up. And you're like, what is that? Well, I got a password when I log in. Guess what it is? In Christ One. Before I even log into anything, first thing I recognize, I'm in Christ. So when that stuff pops up, it's like into the creek with you. You know, and so if you engage, now this is where it gets sticky. If you engage, we all have thoughts, we all have inclinations, but don't engage. Don't let them engage in you. You see, by the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the body, we live. If we don't, we don't live. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Now there's a little bit of conflict going on there. That literally means there is a war in every believer in this room. How about you, Brother Steve? You ever experienced something of the flesh? Probably so. There you go. And so, see, none of us are exempt from this. A lot of times this turns into condemnation for us, because we might bite on it. But there's a scripture that says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Why is that? Because of the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, set me free from the law of sin and death, which is in my members, in my flesh. So I've been set free. There's no condemnation. I might bite, but I can turn. You see? And I don't feel the sting of that. And the enemy is constantly trying to get us to bite. Always. Somebody does something, man, you're right in there, right? Somebody says something, you're right on it. You know, something happens, you're engaged. Yeah. I had to stop watching the news because it wasn't good for me. I just didn't like what was doing in me. I just stopped doing almost everything because I just don't like it. I got the Word of God. That's all I need. I'll be current enough with Jesus. I don't need to keep up on current events. I need to be current with Jesus. So every day and every way, you know, I'm pushing into Him a bit, you know, a lot actually. And so I get the enjoyment of participating with Him and His life. See? And that keeps me from this age. See, it's in your spirit. We take care of our spirit, and we'll be right where we need to be on time with Him. It's your spirit we need to be occupied with. He put His Spirit in us. Not just a nice thought, but literally to be our living. We died, and our lives are now hidden in Christ with God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, we also shall appear with Him. That's Colossians chapter 3. So it says in verse 17, for the flesh is at odds against the Spirit. I'm just paraphrasing here. It says, and the Spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, this is interesting. You know, we all have aspirations, we all have thoughts, we all have goals, I guess. I don't know. I don't know that I ever did, but it sounds like a good idea, and a lot of people do, you know. But here we say here, you know, there's something going on in us, and so we'd like to do some things. I've done some things out of my natural good self. I didn't really like the outcome, especially. Yeah. And it was kind of more frequent than not frequent as I was a young believer. But now I'm beginning to realize I have the Spirit. And when I start to go a certain way, there's a registration in my being that is not the way to go. You're going to hear a voice over your shoulder, a little voice said, this is the way, walk therein. You see? So the Holy Spirit wants to lead us up, right? So we don't do the things that we want to do. Real easy, when you get into business, to maybe handle that, or try to handle that, or something in that realm of handling it. Push it away. Handle him, and that'll work. I got to tell you, I was a terrible student. I could never focus. And I went to college, a lot of college, years and years of college. So I got wounded at UPS, and part of my reprogramming was that I had to go back to college and finish up my degree. And so, okay, sounded good. So I said to the Lord, going in, I'm just telling you, this is how it worked. Lord, I really don't want to occupy myself with that stuff. So I pray that you would give me just exactly what I need so I don't have to occupy myself with all this curriculum. Well, I was on the president's list. The worst student in the world. Straight A's. I was actually teaching one of my classes. You see, so the Lord is fully capable of meeting us wherever we are, in any situation. There was a little tape that Brother Ken gave me, a little gal when she was 3 years old, I believe she asked the Lord to help her become a piano player for him. Well, guess what? At six, she was leading the meetings on the piano. And then she said, well, maybe I need to go get formal education. And she started down that trail, and the Lord said, you've got all you need. I gave you everything you need. And she is beyond good, unbelievably good, a gift from God. So don't add to it or take away from it, you see. So we got, they're contrary to one another, so you don't do the things that you wish. I don't know, probably a lot of us in here have been checked by the Spirit. I remember you were telling us something about when you were in Hawaii and you had aspirations of going and flying and continuing your lifestyle that way, and you stepped out on the deck there, and the Lord said, you go any further, you're on your own. That's a check. So we don't do the things that we wish. Now, you would have thought after Faithful Brother was faithful in that one, that he came back to Moses Lake and everything was blissful. Nothing can be farther from the truth, you see? So we experience stuff. Right? We experience stuff. And so we're learning to take the Lord in the stuff, finding him in all the environments that we are engaged in. And they are continual. I don't know about you, but my life is full of it, you know, and I have to find the Lord in it. Living in an RV and this stuff and, you know, and all this stuff that's going on and can't find nothing, don't know where nothing is, you know, just it's kind of chaotic, really. But I'm finding the Lord in it. You know, and he's meeting me. So I got such a simple thought now, saints. I lay down in this little tip out in that RV thing, and I'm just so thankful. Now, I never was thankful that I had a bed. I didn't even think about having a bed. But now that I've been reduced to that kind of living, I'm just thankful that the water isn't coming down on my head. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I got something over my head. I'm grateful. You know, and it's so, and you're back there because you know he lived in an RV while he was building his house. They did. Yeah, so see, these are our experiences, but we have to find him in them if we're going to walk in the Spirit, because otherwise we're going to exercise something else. I'm going to exercise my frustration. I'm going to exercise my lack of understanding. I'm going to exercise myself, which is going to destroy everybody around me. You see? So we need the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, right? And so we don't do the things that we want. Now, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. See? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's a liberty. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Nobody needs to explain them. That's what evident means. It's very evident. You say something, that's the works of the flesh. Don't have to explain it. That's what it is. Nobody has to get an explanation of what the works of the flesh are. We all know what the works of the flesh are. Whether we're being selfish, whether we're saying something we shouldn't say, whether we're doing something that we shouldn't do, you don't need to explain it. It's very evident. That's what it is. And then he goes through this list here, and I like the way it's worded here, the works of the flesh. See, this is the outworking of the flesh, our flesh. It's in there, but if we work it out, you see, instead of working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that works in us, both to be the willing and the doing, for His good pleasure, if I'm going to work out my flesh, that means I'm just going to engage and go with it. No brakes. Full bore, full throttle. I lived like that for 30 years. Yeah, not a pleasant place to be. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Lord's desire is that we would inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if we want to work out our flesh, the scripture just tells us we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's a little bit of a nudge for us there, I hope. That should kind of say, when I recognize that flesh thing operational in me, then I realize I don't want to be messing around with that. That's messing with my inheritance. The Lord intends me to inherit the kingdom of God. That's a birthright. You see? So, if I'm going to entertain these things, I'm going to miss my inheritance. I was thinking about this poor guy that was in Denver. His family died. He left. He couldn't get along with him. He kind of cracked. Bad situation. And next thing you know, he was living under a bridge. This was in Denver. And his family passed away, the parents, and they left him a lot of money. Yeah. And so he was meeting at this food bank. He was going down to this food bank, that which was close to being where the place where he was hiding under the bridge at night, you know, and sleeping. And he went there, and they handed him an envelope because they knew he was coming in there. And he put it in his pocket. And two nights later, he froze to death under the bridge. And they found him, and in his pocket was that envelope. And in that envelope was a $4 million check. It was the first installment of his inheritance. You see, he missed it. Instead of freezing to death under the bridge and eating at the food kitchen, brother's walking around with $4 million in his pocket. See, we can squander our inheritance. That's the point here. Don't squander your inheritance. We got to be conscious about it. It has everything to do with how we live. Are you living according to yourself, or are you living according to Him? If we're not living according to Him, we're squandering what He has for us, His intention for us, right? And it says, but then I like it gets down here. Let's move on from that one. Verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is. Now remember, we've just spent a serious amount of time with the fruit, right? On fruit, right? Fruit, primarily, does not just grow any old place. It's got to be connected to something. It has to be connected to the vine. The branches got to be on the vine, or they cannot produce fruit. They won't produce fruit. You don't walk up to a stick on the side of the road and go, "Where's the apples?" No, you walk up to an apple tree and you go, "Oh, there's the apples. The branches are producing apples." Why? Because they're hooked into the vine, right? So, the Lord's desire for each and every one of us is that we would be producing. And so I put fruit dispensaries. Here we are. We get an opportunity to dispense fruit from God because we're connected to the vine, right? We're connected. So obviously there should be fruit. If there's not fruit on that tree, we're just a little bit put out. I know with all my trees, when I walked around there and I saw some of them and they were just bloated with apples, I was like, "Well done, little tree," you know. And then I'd look over at these other ones and maybe one or two apples. I'd go, "Not so good, little tree," you know. So my desire, of course, was they'd produce a lot of apples, and then I'd bring them out here and everybody could take them home. That was kind of what the fruit was for, all the apple trees were for. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. See, that singular, the fruit of the Spirit is love. But the attributes of love, what are they? Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now what a contrast, right? In the first column you got the works of the flesh. That's working out something rotten within me. Now, the second one is the expression of what's living in me, right? As being connected to the vine, right? Yeah. Love. Love. You're going to recognize them because they love one another. You know you pass from death to life because they love each other. Love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes we just don't feel it. You know, sometimes we're not there. Well, then again, I'm going to encourage you, be careful what you're nibbling on. If we're nibbling on Him and we're enjoying Him and we're feeding on Him and we're enjoying His Word and we're in fellowship with Him and we're praying, guess what? There's going to be produce. It's a natural happening. Love. So if you're not there, that's just a little escort for us to recognize I need to be there. The Lord's intention is that I would be there, you know. And I'm going to wrap myself out a little bit if I can. I went over to plow the yard out, you know, with the loader, and the loader don't have any brakes. And so I'm sitting over there plowing the yard out, and the Lord spoke to me, "Need to head out to the meeting hall." And I said, "Wow, I got no brakes." Nice little excuse, you know, like the Lord didn't know I didn't have any brakes on the loader, right? So I'm sitting there, I'm going, well, I guess I'm either going to be faithful or I'm not going to be faithful. So I got the yard done, and without too much contemplation, I just turned it towards the meeting hall out here, wide open. And I was doing fine until I tried to stop, and then I didn't have my brakes, but I skidded all the way up to the thing. But anyway, I had to drop the bucket and make all kinds of ruckuses and stuff. I finally got it stopped before I went shooting through the intersection, took everybody out. But anyway, the point is, I got out here and got the job done. And then I was free from what God spoke to me. And then I was able to go back. Well, what was that? The Lord was loving on the saints, you see? And I got to chat with a few of them out there. Eli came and gave me a big old hug, which encouraged me. I met T. Is it T? Over there lives. Yeah, yeah. I never see him. He came out. "Thank you so much. I couldn't get out of the driveway. I'm stuck in the driveway." I said, "Oh, you're welcome, brother." See, so the Lord had a desire out here, which involved me over there. And the question is, am I going to be faithful over there to get myself over here to meet the Lord's intention here? You see, this is how He dispenses Himself. The fruit, that's why we're a little fruit dispensary, right? So I just came out and shed a little fruit on the saints here. Have an apple, have an orange, have a banana, right? So this is what the Lord's looking for in our daily living, that we would be fruit dispensaries, right? And this is the fruit of the Spirit. And he said in verse 24, Galatians 5:24, he said, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So let's look at some verses in Romans, always. Let's look at Romans 8:9. It reads like this. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, of Christ, he is not his. So, I got born again, right? How many of us are born again in here? Amen. Are we born again? Yes. Get your hands up. Are you born again? Manny, are you born again? You've received the Lord, right? Guess what? The Spirit of God dwells in you. We're born again, right? And so, it tells us here, we're in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh. We need to remind each other. Hey, brother, we're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. Husbands, wives, when you get after each other, hey, we're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. There's nothing worse than mano a mano, flesh on flesh. That's the worst situation on the planet. Somebody get to your Spirit, because we're in the Spirit. Don't have to try to get there. I'm in there. That's a reality. I hear people a lot of times saying, oh, I got to get in the Spirit. No, I encourage them. You're already in. Just declare it. Let's just say it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm in the Spirit. Say it. Thank you, Lord. I'm in the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God dwells in me. Now I'm in Spirit. It ain't like I'm out of Spirit over here. I am in Spirit. And a lot of times I feel like I'm out. But you know what? I just simply say, Lord, thank you that I'm in Spirit. And my Spirit bears witness with his Spirit that that's exactly the truth, because the Word declares it. So I can pass from death to life, and just like that, simply by echoing back to the Lord the truth that's already established. I'm in the Spirit. You see? Not trying to get there, I'm in there. So let's go down to verse 12. It says, this is really good. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. What's that mean? Yeah, we're not debtors. That literally means we don't owe that thing anything. You don't owe your flesh one thing. Nada. Nothing. We are not debtors. We are not held captive. We are not subject to, right? We could go on and on to the flesh. Why? Because he dealt with that. That's what he took to the cross, right? I'm free. I don't owe that thing anything. So we shouldn't be occupied with it. If he's already dealt with it, why would you go put lipstick on a dead pig? It's too late, right? Don't do it. It's a waste of time. And yet sometimes we do that. You know, we're out there trying to fix it up. But you know what? He already dealt with it. So it's not even a matter of where it's at. He's already dealt with it, right? Okay, it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. We can do that. We can do the works of the flesh. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, he's given us the Holy Spirit, right? He's given us his Spirit, right? So, Charlie, when things pop up, you shared a little story with us. It was encouraging. But you know what? Things pop up. We want to hide. Maybe we don't want to come clean. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to be exposed. And so we try to hide. What happened in the garden? Adam, where are you? Yeah, where are you? Oh, I'm naked. I'm hiding. Who told you you were naked? And why are you hiding? Well, I'm probably in trouble then. Yeah, my eyes got opened. And I'm not very good at handling what I see, right? It says, so if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Those little interruptions that I was sharing about when we opened up here is this. Every time that I can feel myself starting to rise up, I have the wonderful opportunity by the Holy Spirit to put that to death. Sometimes you start to get cranky, you know, by the way people do things. It starts to rise up in you. We start getting cranky against people just in general. It starts to rise up in us, right? And we got the opportunity by the Holy Spirit to put that to death. And then it tells us why. You put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I certainly want to live. So I'm a brother in not just thought and theory. I'm a brother in reality, always putting to death by the Spirit. It's a pretty much all the time with me. He says, let's go. I want to just jump it. Let's get into 2 Corinthians. We got to wrap it up. Let's jump 2 Corinthians. Now here we go. This is interesting. Maybe a lot of times we're okay as long as everything's good. You know, what happens when your boat gets rocked a little bit? You know, I was always puzzled in the early days. You know, I'd be enjoying the Lord, just loving Him. And then I'd say something silly like, Lord, I really want to know You. And I still say that to this day, don't get me wrong. But He would move my compass 1 degree, and I'd unravel like an old shirt. I mean, what is happening? You know, and just a flurry of things come. And it's awful easy at that point just to park your wagon. Yeah. Get sour face. Yeah. Or start swinging at it with your natural man. Or maybe just settle into the Lord would be a good option, right? So we're going to look at the Apostle Paul here. This is real stuff. He tells us in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says, we have a treasure, but it's in an earthen vessel. Interestingly enough, God formed man from the dust of the ground. And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. No different than the Holy Spirit coming in to this dirt vessel. From the dust we came, to the dust we will return. I'm walking around here a big old bag of dust. You're a big old bag of dust. But we got a treasure in the middle of the dust, right? There's a treasure in the earthen vessel. God Himself has chose to dwell in this big old bag of dirt. A big dirt bag. We say that sometimes. We say that to each other. Yeah. He says, and the reason is, he says, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, what exactly is it that a big pile of dirt can do? Not much. But a pile of dirt with the Holy Spirit in it can do quite a bit for God, right? So Paul's talking about trying to claim and name it, claim it thing. Yeah, he said, man, I'm just a bag of dirt, but I know I got the treasure in my earthen vessel. So the power is His, and He's the one that's getting the job done in me. It's not me coming up with good ideas. It's the Holy Spirit at work, right? And now listen to this. Here's His life. You think you got it bad? Try this out. We are hard-pressed, on every side. Yet, I'm not crushed. I'm pressed, but I am not crushed. You've been pressed this week? Did the Lord press you this week? Yeah, but you're not crushed. You see, He's working. He's working on us. Might have been hard pressed, but I'm not crushed, right? And He says, on every side, yet not crushed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. Really don't even have a clue what's going on, but I'm not despairing. Now, Paul had an experience in 1 Corinthians 1 or 2 Corinthians 1. He had an experience. He was trusting himself. But he said we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We needed to learn a valuable lesson. He said, let's take a look at that, because that's good. We don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure. Now this is a brother out sharing the gospel. Above strength, so we despaired even of life. They were about ready to throw in the towel. Hopeless. Not going anywhere. We despaired even of life. This is Apostle Paul talking to us. Yes, we had the sense of death in ourselves. Why? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from such a great death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. And you also are helping by your prayers. So Paul had to learn something. This was a learned behavior. He was passing through some things and he was learning not to trust in himself, but to trust in God. We're pretty good at trusting ourselves, but we need to shift out of that and trust Him. Right? Shut that part of yourself off. It's your spirit, it ain't your brain. Your brain will follow your spirit. See, we need to get our spirit built up so we can clip the brain and the brain will line up. See, the Christian life's like this. This is simple stuff. Okay, so a wheel. We all got them on our cars. That's how we got here, right? We all drove, most of us drove, right? Okay, there's a hub. And the energy's in the hub. And then there's the wheel. But the wheel has to be connected to the hub. So if you disconnect the wheel from the hub, you just have a tire sitting there. And you'd walk up and you'd look at it and you'd go, geez, that should be hooked to something. There's even holes there for it to be hooked up, right? And then there's the tire. And the tire is where all this practical application hits the ground. So the hub is the energy, our spirit. Our body is the wheel, right? Our soul is the wheel. And our body is the tire. So as long as we're connected to the hub, we're going to be going somewhere. And my body's going to hit the ground running. We were naughty when I was in high school. Some of the girls were sassy, and so we would sneak out after PE and we'd jack their car up just a little bit, like maybe an inch off the ground, and put blocks underneath it, and they'd sass us as they went by. They'd go out and they're hopping their cars, and they'd whoom, whoom, whoom. We had to run out and tell one to stop. She was going to blow the car up. Yeah. She couldn't figure out why she wasn't going anywhere. And her tires are spinning 150 miles an hour. And so, see, that's why we could be like that. See, the tire's got to be on the ground. That's where the rubber meets the road, right? Don't we say that? The rubber meets the road. That's us. But we receive the energy from the hub. And it goes through the wheel. And then it hits the tire. And the tire's where the rubber meets the road. Right? Okay, so, well, here we are. Okay, so in 2 Corinthians, he says, we're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Now, we all take hits, right? Every day we're going through it, we're taking hits, right? But none of this is take me out stuff. This is something that's working for us. You see, it's working. in us. These momentary light afflictions are working for us. A far exceeding great and eternal war of glory, right? So we're not giving up in that realm. We're finding the Lord. And then he says in verse 10, which we read a lot, but we don't put the context there, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. There's two legs to our salvation. There's death and there's resurrection. I'm putting to death the deeds of my flesh and I'm walking in resurrection life. No death, no resurrection. You see, these are the two legs. So I'm always bearing about in this tent where that treasure is, the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life of Jesus might be manifested or made seen in my mortal body. I used to get so excited when I was little to walk up to a vending machine. They had them great big windows on them, right? And I would sit there. I didn't have a dime, but I would look in there and I go, oh my goodness, look at all that stuff in there. See? That was exciting to me, and that's exciting to the Lord. So you're a fruit dispensary, Charlie. No charge here. Come on and enjoy. Pull the handle and enjoy, right? So that's what the Lord's intending for us. Manifested in our bodies, our human bodies, right? And now this, it gets good here. For we, it's all good, but for we who live, I'm alive. Paul is alive. We are always delivered to death. For what? Jesus' sake. It's for Jesus' sake. Why do I experience what I experience? It's for Jesus' sake. Because he's trying to develop me. He's trying to mature me. He's trying to bring me forward. Paul's goal was to bring every man to Christ mature. That was his aspiration. That was his motor. And that's what drove him. To present every man mature before Christ Jesus. We should be about the same business, right? Help. Help. Help them. See? Manifested in my mortal body. And said, we're always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. Now this is interesting. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in what? Read it, Charlie. That the life of Jesus. It's 4:11.
For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh.
Okay, now we're talking about this battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. Have you ever seen this pairing here? Number one, in my body. Number two, my flesh. This is interesting. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in my mortal flesh. He is totally capable and able of getting that done with each and every one of us. The more we participate, the more we enjoy him, the more time we spend with him, guess what? My flesh becomes acclimated to him. And my spirit becomes stronger. May the Lord preserve you. Body, soul, and spirit. That's the whole package. See, he wants our body. He wants our flesh. He wants our spirit. He wants everything about us. And he is unrelenting in pursuit of that. So we can just surrender. The Holy Spirit can only work with what we give him. So every day, Lord, here I am. I'm all yours. I'm all in. I'm not sitting on the fence. I'm all in. Have your way. Get what you want. Because I know one day I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Right? So as we're living this out, as we're walking this out, and that literally is the living out of it, we are literally fruit dispensaries for God. Why this is happening. The difficult thing when I went into business, we were stinking it up. I mean, it was bad. We were in debt up to our eyebrows. My kids were on welfare stuff. It was bad. And I was like, what did you do to me? How am I in this thing? You know, and it was an absolute disaster. And I wanted out, you know, really bad. But you know what I couldn't do? I couldn't go anywhere with that. That was something I had to bear. I couldn't certainly go before the crew and go, you know what? We're in serious trouble. I couldn't tell them that. I couldn't tell Joni, this thing is off the rails. You know? And it was. Yeah, well, there was a point at one time where I was on a bucket, you know, $500,000, $750,000 in debt, no crew, no nothing, sitting on a bucket going, oh God, what's next? You know, and he just gave me a word and it started and it just kept going from there. You see, so I couldn't express that to anything else. You have to take it. You absorb it. You give it to the Lord. See, this is the process. So we do get boxed around a bit, right? But he's working and we know he's working. And if I commit it to him, I get to see what he's working on, and I get the enjoyment of participating with him in the working, right? So, amen.
Dios les bendiga, hermanos.
The Lord bless you, brothers and sisters.
Amen. We'll take it, brother.
Como quiero testificar algo que me ha pasado esta semana.
I want to testify something that happened to me this week.
So, yo iba a trabajar,
I was on my way to work.
Allá para George.
In George.
Y pues tengo un carro que es un Honda.
And I have a Honda.
Y me pasó algo en el fue como el martes o el lunes.
And something happened to me. This happened on Monday or Tuesday.
Estaba congelado la cartera y se me barrió y banqueteé ahí por el.
The road was frozen, so I slid.
Y así me fui, y el carro pues iba de lado, en el freeway.
And I kept going in the freeway, the car was going sideways.
Y llegué ahí al trabajo y le dije a uno de mis compañeros, le dije, ¿sabes qué? Pues,
and I arrived to work and I talked to one of my coworkers.
Le dije lo que pasó y ya le dije, no, pues hay que decirle al patrón, dijo el compañero.
And told him what happened and he said, well, let's tell the boss.
Y le dijimos y dijo el patrón, no, pues hay que meterlo al chapa que te lo arregle.
And we told him and he said, let's take the car in the shop so it could get fixed.
Y lo metió y ya me dijo el mecánico pues que no me preocupara que él lo iba a arreglar.
And the mechanic told me not to worry that he was going to get it fixed.
Y ya le dijo a mi hijo pues de que lo que tenía y todo y ya pues
and he told
me quedé
what was wrong with the car.
A gusto.
And pues, I was content with the result.
Y como dice el hermano Scar, en 2 Corintios 4 al 7 dice.
And like Scott was sharing that 2 Corinthians 4:7.
Dice, pero tenemos tesoro en vasos de barro.
That we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Para que la excelencia del poder sea de Dios y no de nosotros.
That the power may be of God and not of us.
Que estamos atribulados en todo.
We are hard pressed on every side.
Mas no angustiados.
Yet not crushed.
Y en apuros,
we are perplexed,
mas no desesperados,
but not in despair.
Pues yo le doy gracias a Dios, porque hasta ahorita estoy aquí.
I thank God because I'm here.
Y así me fui, y yo confiado, entonces el jueves.
So then I left, and then Thursday.
Cayó una nevada grande allá en la tarde.
In the afternoon we got hit with some snow.
Y llegué al trabajo y trabajé, ahí andamos trabajando.
And I went to work and started working.
Y para venirme también entré al freeway.
And on my way back home I was in the freeway.
Y en 50 el de velocidad.
Driving 50 miles an hour.
Y se me barrió el carro.
And the car slid again.
Y pues dije, no, pues ya no es bueno.
And I said, this is not good.
Y y pues entre más le daba la velocidad, como que se me barría.
And the faster I was going, the more it slid.
Y ya dije, no, pues esto ya no es bueno, pues yo ya no voy a venir a trabajar.
And I said, this is not good, I'm not going to come to work anymore.
Y en la mañana, pues, en la mañana, pues hubo un accidente allí en el Adam, ahí en la cartera Adam.
And on Adam's Road, there was an accident.
Y pues allí, pues, murieron dos muchachos y me acordé.
And two young people died there, and I remembered that.
Y entonces yo venía pues a 20 millas por el freeway.
And I was driving 20 miles an hour.
Lo bueno que cuando se me barró el carro no venía ningún carro, y dije, pues bendito sea el Señor Jesucristo.
And the good thing is that when I slid and I was going sideways, there was no other cars coming, and I just thanked the Lord for that.
Y me vine pues a 20 millas y pues venía pidiéndole a Dios de que enviara a sus ángeles
And I kept driving 20 miles an hour. I was asking God to send his angels
para que me cuidaran y guardaran el carro.
And keep my car.
Y pues así me vine y entonces ahí por la Hiawatha hay una bajada así de
And on Hiawatha there's a downhill.
Y pues también sentí que se resbaló y pues él también y pues entonces ahí ya le bajé me vine como a 10 millas también de bajito ahí.
And I went down slowly downhill.
Y
sliding
pues,
also.
Y pues llegué a la casa y le dije a mi esposa, ¿sabes qué? Yo ya no voy a ir a trabajar porque me pasó esto.
I went home and I told my wife I was not going to go back to work because of this.
Y ya dije, pues mañana ya voy a decirle al patrón que ya no voy a ir porque se está poniendo pues feo.
And I told her that next day I was going to tell the boss that I was not going to go anymore because of the road condition.
Y pues aquí estoy y pues me dio todavía la oportunidad Dios de mirarlos otra vez a ustedes y
And I'm thankful I'm here because God gave me another opportunity to see you all.
Y pues que Dios me los bendiga y pues que
the Lord bless
y pues
you.
Como dice el hermano Gary que cada quien tenemos un pequeño testimonio o algo
like Gary
que testificar
said, we all have
que lo testifiquemos para fortalecer pues a nosotros mismos
so we can edify each other.
Y pues que Dios me los bendiga a cada uno de ustedes.
God bless each and one of you.
We're glad you're here too, brother.
Relay.
Relay. I had a tough job, Charlie.
Слава Богу. Бог вмещает нас всех здесь сидящих.
God can take all of us in.
И понимает каждого из нас.
He can understand all of us.
Как сегодня Чарли вначале говорил, и когда брат начал говорить, меня такая мысль посетила. Вот Бог слышит его, и Бог слышит меня. Ну ладно, меня-то слышит. Ну, украинцев, наш язык похожий.
And my thought was, God can hear Charlie and Scott and can hear me, and the difference between Ukrainians and Russians is slight.
Ну, американцев понимают. Я его тоже чуть-чуть понимаю, этот language.
And I can slightly understand American language.
Ну, вот мой брат говорил, я его не понимал.
But when my brother, his Spanish brother was saying stuff, I couldn't understand in his language.
Мне надо было, чтобы переводчик переводил на английский, а с английского уже на русский.
So I needed somebody to translate to English and then from English to Russian.
Поэтому слава Богу, что Бог нас всех вмещает.
So I'm so glad that God can understand and take all of us in.
И я хотел бы сейчас говорить о, немножко об одном персонаже из Библии, о Давиде.
And I want to share a little bit about David.
Вы знаете, что это был царь израильский.
And you guys know that he was a king of Hebrew.
И как у всякого человека, а тем более у царя, у него очень было много забот, очень много дел было, надо было делать ему.
And he had a lot of things to deal with.
Ему надо было составлять законы.
He had to make laws.
Ему надо было судить народ.
Be a judge.
Ему надо было думать, как этот народ прокормить.
How to feed all these people.
Ему надо было думать, как содержать армию.
How to keep the army.
Ему надо было еще и воевать.
And go to wars.
Он очень много провел войн.
And he had lots of wars.
Но вот Господь сказал об этом человеке: нашел я мужа по сердцу своему.
But the Lord said, I found a man after my own heart.
Это Деяния 12 глава, 13 глава, 14 стих. И вы знаете, сегодня мы сидим здесь, и Бог смотрит на нас и ищет себе человека по сердцу своему.
And God is here, and He's seeking people after His own heart.
И я хотел так посмотрел, как же Бог ищет.
And I'm wondering, how is He looking at?
И я обратил, какие качества были в Давиде.
And the qualities that David had.
Давид был униженный.
He was humble.
Когда его жена сказала, ты так унизился перед людьми, когда он танцевал, когда вносил ковчег Божий в Иерусалим.
When his wife told him he looked like a fool when he was dancing before the Lord.
Он сказал, я унижусь перед Богом еще больше.
He said, I'll be even more foolish than that.
Он был отважным человеком.
He was very brave.
И он был очень мог прощать людей.
He could forgive people.
И вы знаете, если мы посмотрим, сегодня прочитаем его историю, она очень хорошо записана в Библии.
And his history is very well written in the Bible.
Много качеств найдем в нем.
We could find a lot of great qualities.
Такие, которые еще нам нужно смотреть перед Богом, чтобы были в нас.
The qualities that we would want to attain.
И вот этот человек, когда я не знаю, я думаю, что он составлял законы.
And I'm sure he was part of making the laws.
Подошел к нему человек один.
A person came up to him.
И сказал.
And told him.
Пойдем в дом Божий.
Let's go to the house of the Lord.
И он говорит, обрадовался я, когда сказали мне, пойдем в дом Божий.
He said, I got so excited when somebody said, let's go to the house of the Lord.
Сегодня я радуюсь, что я в доме Божьем.
And I am too excited that I am here in the house of the Lord.
Мой брат радуется, что он в доме Божьем, что Бог его хранит.
And my brother is excited that the Lord protected him and he's here as well.
Вы знаете, я хотел бы сказать, сегодня собрание закончится. Брат скажет, завтра собрание в понедельник будет вечером. Как мое сердце? Обрадовался я, что мне сказали, что в понедельник будет молитва.
And after the church service is over with, someone will say that we have prayer Monday. Will I get excited about that?
Обрадовался я, когда мне сказали, сестры собираются в пятницу, сестры.
And I was so excited that the sisters got together.
В субботу, я извиняюсь. Обрадовался я, когда мне сказали, братья собираются утром.
And when the brothers come together Saturday.
Кто-то может сказать, лучше бы ты поел об этом и не напоминал.
And somebody might say, why are you saying this?
Теперь надо будет смотреть на сердце, радуюсь я при этом или не радуюсь.
Now I have to check myself whether I'm joyful or not.
Вы знаете, когда идет, я часто приходил на молитву и в понедельник, в четверг молитвы.
And often when I come to Thursday and Monday prayers.
Я видал, когда сестры приходят с работы, не зашли домой.
That people would come from work, not even going to the house first.
Кто-то с офиса пришел, не переоделся.
Maybe somebody straight from the office there.
Кто-то со стройки пришел, не переоделся.
Maybe from construction site.
Кто-то еще с какой-то работы пришел.
And other jobs.
Не успел даже покушать.
Maybe didn't even eat yet.
Вы знаете, мое сердце радуется.
My heart rejoices.
Когда люди, пренебрегая чем-то, своим временем, идут в Дом Божий.
When somebody sacrificed their time and other things to come to the house of God.
Мы часто думаем, что там будет.
And often thinking, what is there going to be?
Вы знаете, опять же Давид говорит.
And David says.
Псалмы. Псалома 72. 72.
Psalm 71.
Не, я по-английски это сказал, по-моему.
А, 72, окей. 72.
А я, едва не пошатнулись ноги мои, едва не поскользнулись стопы мои.
А, окей, второе. Я извиняюсь, у меня по-русски написано сейчас. Окей, he will judge.
По-русски это 73-й псалом.
Это по-английски 73-й?
73-й по-русски. 72-й, я думаю, по-английски будет.
Anyways, I'll translate the same way.
Да, 72-й по-английски. А 73-й по-русски. А, нет? 73-й. А, 73-й по-английски, я извиняюсь.
I apologize. Psalm 73.
А я едва не пошатнулись ноги мои.
But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled.
И я не буду весь псалом читать.
I won't read the whole thing.
Он говорит, я увидел безумных.
But he said, I saw foolish ones.
Их нету на работе.
They're not at work.
Они, в общем, все характеристики. И говорит, когда я пришел в Дом Божий, то только тогда я понял.
But only when I came to the house of the Lord, I understood.
И вот эти, и он говорит, так не нап, 13 стих, так не напрасно ли я очищал сердце мое и омывал невинности руки мои?
Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence.
И подвергал себя ранам всякий день.
For all day long I have been plagued.
И думал я, как бы, уже 16 стих, и думал я, как бы уразуметь это, но трудно было в глазах моих.
When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me.
Доколе не вошел я во святилище Божие.
Until I went into the sanctuary.
И не уразумел конца их.
Of God, then understood their end.
Тогда, когда мы заходим в Дом Божий.
When we come to the house of God.
Мы за день видим много всякого нечестия.
Throughout the day we see a lot of junk.
Но мы, когда заходим в Дом Божий, мы начинаем понимать то, что Господь над всем.
And then we notice that God is above all when we're in the house of God.
Наше сердце очищается.
Our heart gets cleansed.
Наш разум просвещается.
Our mind gets clear.
Поэтому пусть Господь поможет нам заботиться о Доме Божьем.
Let God help us to see it.